For BBS Radio, this is Health Frontiers with Lexi Ross. Tonight, we have an unusual guest. This is Sissy Harrington McGill, who actually started her own holistic dog food company after visiting Europe and seeing that the dogs over there were living longer. Sissy, good evening.
Hi there.
It's nice to have you with us. I was absolutely fascinated when I went through, well, first of all, I got turned on to your food, gosh, about 2 or 3 years ago in Florida.
Keep your voice up for me, Lexi.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
I got turned on to your food in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and then couldn't find you here in Atlanta, and then
mm-hmm.
I finally found a unique store that was carrying your product. Tell our listeners how your health food, it's called Millennium Gold, how it came about.
Well, actually, we have 5 or 6 different kinds. I raise Great Danes, and I have been for 40 years. In the 50s, I lost 3 Great Danes to bloat. Bloat is a condition that the stomach swells up with gas, and even with the intervention of a vet, sometimes the dogs die, and I lost all 3 of mine.
Wow.
And I didn't know that soybean, wheat, and corn could kill your dog because it ferments. Doesn't kill all dogs, but particularly the deep-chested dogs, including dachshunds. And Great Dane is the national dog of Germany. Only in English-speaking countries are they called Great Danes. The rest of the world are called Deutsche Dogge, D-O-G-G-E. Dogge in German is not dog. It's mastiff. So a Great Dane in German is called German Mastiff, Deutsche Dogge. And Hund, as in dachshund, is dog. And I went over there and I bought the son of the 74 world champion Great Dane. I had to learn to speak dog German. I was okay in the kennels, but outside I was a disaster because it never occurred to me that I'd have to drive outside. And I was there for 4 months, and I had been writing to the kennels way ahead of time that they would have puppies between 5 weeks and 5 months of age. So I visited 44 kennels all over Europe, but mostly in Germany. And what amazed me, the American Dane lives to be 7 to 9. The German Dane lives to be 11 to 13. And I said, how come? And there's only 3 things. I've just done a 5-day dog show, so I'm fighting laryngitis.
Oh, okay. Well,
there's only 3 things. We love our dogs as much as they do. We're always trading dogs back and forth. There goes your genetics. The only thing left was food. Now, their food doesn't contain soybean, wheat, or corn. It contains amaranth, millet, and barley. They never use animal fat or poultry fat. Because any time you see animal fat or poultry fat in dog food, it's rotten meat. It's rancid. And it causes all sorts of problems, including cancer. They don't use animal fat or poultry fat. They use canola oil and flaxseed oil. Never sunflower oil, which increases the risk of cancer by 69%, according to the Swedish National Cancer Institute. So anyway, I brought Bismarck back with me. Remember Prince Otto von Bismarck of Germany in the 1890s?
Yeah, I recall the name.
You know, think the Bismarck, the big
battleship. Yeah.
Okay. He had a hobby of raising Great Danes. And this was his great-grandson, Baron von Meschack, that I bought my Bismarck from. And this was the Bismarck kennel of the world. Now, I had quite a time trying to get Bismarck over here because his father was just an inch under 39 inches to 40 inches at the shoulder. That's at the shoulder, not the head and the ears.
Uh-huh.
So I went to Lufthansa. I had my reservations ahead of time. And I get there, and they tell me the dog is not 10 weeks of age. Now, it has to be 10 weeks in 1974 in an international flight. And this happened to be Lufthansa. And I said, yes, he is. He's just a big dog. Well, you have to get a bigger kennel. Well, I went back and forth and back and forth, and I didn't have enough money in my purse to drive, or I just turned in the car to have a taxi to the part of the airport that had the kennels, because that was, like shipping animals, like horses.
Uh-huh.
So I just had enough to make it there, not thinking I'd have to do a round trip. And I came in, I told him I need a larger kennel, and the man said to me, sorry, lady, I'm on my lunch break. And he walked off. Well, my plane was leaving at 1 o'clock, and this was at 10:30, 11 o'clock. And I had to sit there, and then I got a larger crate for Bismarck. Bismarck was in the main terminal. I was just with the crate and me in the taxi. And I thought to myself, well, I'll give him a couple rings, and I'll give him my watch, because I don't have the money. You know, I'm a Christian, and the Lord was with me. Suddenly, I found what's equivalent to $20 in my purse in Deutschmarks. Now, I know it wasn't there before, but there
really?
It was. I said, thank you, Lord. So anyway, I get to the airport, and they tell me that the plane is going to leave in 20 minutes, and I'm not going to make the plane. I said, okay, where is the gate? And they told me the gate. Of course, it had to be the last gate. And I started to run, and I'm screaming, don't close that door, don't close that door. If you've ever seen the airports in Germany, there's sex shops all over the place.
Really?
Oh,
no,
boy.
I've never been to Germany.
Things I didn't even know existed. So anyway, I'm running in. They finally let me in through the gate of the pilot. And I don't know where my dog is. I assume he's on the plane. And I had a little meat patty, dehydrated meat patty in my purse. And as I'm running down the aisle to sit down, my purse bangs on the back of some seat and comes out the choke chain and the six-foot leather leash and the patty. And the man said to me, I don't know what kind of woman you are with a whip and a chain. I thought, oh, man, I'm not going to even talk to you. So anyway, I sit down, and the flight attendant comes. So I grab her skirt, and tug at the skirt, and I said, can you tell me if my dog has made the plane? She said, who are you? And I said, I'm Mrs. McGill. She comes back at 10 minutes later. She said, yes, there's a dog on the plane. Tug, tug, tug. Is it a Great Dane? She said, it's a big dog. I said, is it a Great Dane? She said, yes. She didn't know a Dane from a boxer, but anyway.
Right.
So she comes back again, tug, tug, tug. And I said, is he breathing? She said, I will look for you. So she came back and she says, there are two dogs in the hole. They're both large dogs, and they're both breathing. Is there anything else I can do for you, Mrs. McGill? No, thank you very much. So anyway, we land in Amsterdam. It's a nonstop flight from Amsterdam to Los Angeles. Now, we land in Amsterdam, and I see this baggage handler in a white jacket. He's making funny motions to me with his hands. I thought, oh. He's heard about those sex shops and by whipping the chain. I think he has some nerve doing that. And then I found out that he was just trying to tell me that my dog was fine and he had loaded into the other plane. You know, so much for my sex appeal. So anyway, I get in the new plane. I'm going there, and the pilot comes back. Tug, tug, tug. I'm Mrs. McGill. Can you tell me if my dog is all right and made the plane? He said, Mrs. McGill, I will personally go down and look at your dog. So he comes back, he said, your dog is fine, he is asleep, he is breathing, and I've got to run the plane. So he goes up front. Okay. Now, before I left, I wanted to take this Hundenflocken dog food. Hund means dog, Flocken means flake. Dog food flakes, which was the number one dog food in Germany. Now, what had happened, since I was so enthralled because they don't use soybean, wheat, or corn, I had taken samples of a lot of dog foods, threw most of it away, put it in Ziploc bags, put the label on it, and put it in my suitcase. Okay?
Yeah.
Now I am now landing in Los Angeles, and I get off the plane, and the custom people opens my suitcase, and there's no clothes in it.
Ah.
And the reason there was no clothes is that I had to make room for all this good dog food. So, and in those days, you only allowed 44 pounds on an international flight, and my suitcase was 57 pounds. So I went up to the ladies' room and opened up my suitcase and dumped all my clothes in the trash.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I mean, you can get clothes any place but dog food. Here I am at Los Angeles Airport with the security guys, you know, custom guys, whatever they're called, and there's no clothes, just these packages of unknown stuff, and he couldn't read the labels because they're all in German. So, therefore, I'm a drug smuggler.
Oh, my God.
So he opens up every single bag and dumps it on the floor into one pile. I didn't know what was what, and I had to wait for 28 hours. I sat on the floor, and I cried.
I bet.
And my poor Mrs. Marcus there, he doesn't know what's going on. So, finally, they took some phone calls. I guess they want to get rid of me as quickly as possible. So the guy said to me, Mrs. McGill, we will take the dog. We will take the crate. We will take the suitcase if you will just leave. I said, but I'm supposed to have the dog in the crate. The sign says so. He says, for you, we'll make an exception. So they lead me out, and my friend is meeting me there. So that's how I got Bismarck into the United States.
I'll be darned.
Now, I was a teacher of gifted children at that time in 1974, and I didn't know any. I don't even cook. I live alone. Cook is what? The stove has been untouched by human hands. So anyway, what happens is that I'm thinking to myself, I've got to have this dog food here. So I call Bismarck's breeder, who on the phone happens to be the president of the Deutsche Dogge Hundenflocken Dog Food Company. I bought the formula from him. That's when the trouble started. I called 19 different dog food companies. No, I don't want soybean, wheat, or corn. I want amaranth, millet, and barley. Ama what, lady? Amaranth. You know, it's a grain of the Aztecs. It gives you tremendous sustained energy. Sorry, lady. You want soybean, wheat, or corn? We can do it. So after being refused 19 times, I had a long talk with the Lord. I said, listen, Lord, you had me learn to speak dog German. You got me over there to get the son of the 74 world champion. He's magnificent, and I want to feed him good dog food, and I can't find a mill. So if you've got something in mind, you better hurry up, because I'm tapped out. The next morning, one of the mills called me, and I said, thank you, Lord. I felt like saying, you've got a funny sense of humor, but thank you anyway. So I went to the mill, and they said that if I would get all the ingredients in ahead of time, because they had no other use for it, they would make it for me. Great. Now, remember, I'm still teaching school. But the minimum run is 25 tons.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, the car didn't look in the garage anyway. You know, I took the car out, threw all the junk out. And 25 tons comes in there. Now, what am I going to do with 25 tons? In plain brown bags, which is highly illegal. You know, you can't do that. So I started calling my friends that had German shepherds that had died of bloat. One friend had lost 15 Irish setters that had died of bloat.
You're kidding.
Oh, yes, very prevalent. 1,000 dogs a week in the United States die of bloat. No other country in the world. Because no other... Just a second.
Jamie, I can't... I'll call them back. Get a phone number. Get a phone number. I won't call them.
Anyway, so they bought the dog food. And then some people say, well, you know, you really should get it like in Petco or some stores. Well, you can't put an unmarked bag into a store. It's highly illegal. You have to have the ingredients and so forth. So after school, I would take the empty bags to a silk screening place, and they would put up solid gold dog food. Solid gold happened to be my kennel of my Great Danes.
I see. I was going to ask you where you got that name. Yeah.
Of course, my ex-husband used to wear solid gold Rolexes.
I see.
So anyway, here I'm selling dog food, and I finally had to... Just a second. So what happened is that I get it into these stores and everything else, and there was no such thing as a natural dog food in the United States. I found that out when the...
And what year was this?
This was about 75, 76.
I didn't realize you'd been around that long.
Oh, yeah. I'm old. I'm 73. I'm an old lady.
Okay.
So anyway, what happens is that...
Don't, you know, we're on the air, so this is not very...
I know. I have to do something. Anyway, so what happened is that I have to rent a warehouse eventually, and I have to ride a forklift and my nylon stockings and my high heels to unload this. And I'm starting to send this out to different places because the word spreads very rapidly. By 1977, I had to quit teaching after 24 years of teaching school. I couldn't do both, so I finally decided... I'll take all my money out of my teaching retirement and do this. Now, you know, remember Caesar and the Rubicon?
No, I don't remember the story.
Okay, when Julius Caesar crossed into Rome, the river outside of Rome was the Rubicon. And once you crossed over the Rubicon, you were subject to Roman law. And you were never allowed to bring a army over there. Well, he did. So quit teaching. I was crossing the Rubicon. So anyway, here I now have all this dog food, and the FDA comes in. And they said, there's no such thing as a natural dog food.
I said, what are you talking about? It's been the number one seller in Germany for 20 years. And they said, oh, well, that's what started my problems, because other dog food companies did everything under the sun to put me out of business, because they didn't want the competition.
Really?
So I didn't know if you knew that I spent 114 days in a federal prison.
No, I did not.
Well, courtesy of the FDA, they said that I had broken the health claims law. This is in 88. I said, what's the health claims law? Vitamins and minerals and herbs are drugs and can be sold only to a veterinarian on prescription basis only. I said, what are you talking about? Vitamins and minerals and herbs can be bought at any store, any supermarket. They said, that's for people, but not for dogs.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
They were lying. There was no such law. But I didn't
really
know that. I thought the government told the truth. I was naive in those days.
Boy, were you ever.
Anyway, they hauled me into court, and supposedly this is a first-time misdemeanor. Now, if you've got a misdemeanor, it's a $16 fine, and you go before a magistrate. Well, they had all hauled me into a federal court before a federal judge. So I knew something was very wrong. So the judge said that I had broken the health claims law, and I am entitled to a jury trial. I said, fine, I want a jury trial. He said, you're going to take the court's time up for this, for a jury trial? I said, well, you told me I could. Well, come to find out, if you're a misdemeanor, you're not allowed a jury trial. So they made this a federal offense, but they applied the misdemeanor law so I wouldn't get a jury trial. Talk about finagling. So I come in a couple days later, and I got an attorney, and I said, where's the jury? And he said, I'm denying you a jury trial. Isn't there something in
the judge said he was denying you
a
jury trial?
Isn't there something in the Constitution? You're entitled to a jury of your peers?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that. I was dumb in those days. So anyway, 5 days later, and I'm not allowed any witnesses on my side. That's against the Bill of Rights, too. I used to carry the Bill of Rights around with me for a year and a half after that. And I'm not allowed to talk to anybody, and the judge says, I'm going to make an example out of you. He said, I'm sentencing you to 6 months hard time in a maximum security for federal prison.
You are kidding.
No. And then he said, I'm going to make an example out of you. He said, you know, you're very arrogant. I said, arrogant? I said, Your Honor, you told my attorney the next time he objected, you find him in contempt of court. So he had to sit there and say nothing. I have to defend myself. He said, see, I told you were arrogant. You're arrogant. You're going to wear chains in prison. Now, I went to prison. This is not a penitentiary. This is downtown San Diego. And I was in prison. So the second day I'm in prison, the warden comes down. They always come down for the new people. He said, what are you here for? I said, well, I told people not to give chemicals and drugs to their dogs, to put them on a good, healthy diet. He said, well, yeah, I know, but what are you here for? I said, I just told you. So I'm still wearing the chains. And 1,000 people in the prison, I'm the only one wearing chains.
Oh, you're kidding.
So the next day, he comes down, and he is furious. And he says to the guard, take the chains off that woman. So he took the chains off me. And he shook his finger right in my face. He said, do you know how much this costs the citizens to keep you in this prison? $1,300 a month. I said, well, I know how you can save money. Just let me out. He said, I can't do that. He said, only the judge can let you out. Now, I'm not allowed to make any phone calls or receive phone calls, and the only letters I'm allowed to make is to my congressman.
Holy mackerel. So
I thought, what the heck? I'm going to write to my congressman. They hold the letters for 5 days, and they read the letters. I wrote to 22 congressmen. I wrote to George Bush the First. I get letters back from 22 congressmen and senators that I never broke a law. Now, this is interesting because July the 19th, 1990, is when he sentenced me to prison. And he didn't know what to do with me. Because in the 87-year history of the FDA, I'm the only person they've ever brought to court. I mean, this dog stuff, this is dangerous stuff, lady.
Isn't that amazing?
So anyway,
that just goes to show you the power of the the food industry.
That's right. So anyway, he didn't know what to do with me. So that was a six-week period. But 2 weeks after he said I broke the health claims law, I'm reading the paper. I'm a great reader. And it says
The Senate on that day passed the health claims law after the FDA trying it for 14 years. Excuse me, the House passed it, and it goes to the Senate in October. Well, what law did I break? There wasn't any law. What, are you going to make it retroactive? So I'm in prison in September. It hasn't been passed yet. In fact, remember I said I was a great reader?
Wait a minute. What was the law that they were passing?
The health claims law, that vitamins and minerals and herbs are drugs and can be sold only to a vet on prescription basis only.
For dogs.
For dogs. It wasn't a law. In fact, when it came to the Senate in October, they refused it. Now, after the Senate refuses it, the president has 60 days to go yes or no, whether to approve of it or not. And even though they refuse it, they decided to keep me in prison the other 60 days.
Now, talk about arrogance. The judge was the one that was arrogant.
Oh, sure. His name was Gordon Thompson. I'll tell you all his name. So anyway, what happens is that I have a stroke in prison. I'm 57 years old in prison. I'm the oldest person in prison. And my work in prison was vacuuming. Oh, boy, they're really trying to kill me there. So, I mean, it was so bad I couldn't breathe or anything. People were very nice to me. I had the best roommate. She was the head of the Medellin drug cartel in Florida. She was a great lady. She used to make the phone calls for me to the office because I wasn't allowed to make any phone calls. Now, another thing the judge did, he fined the corporation $200 a month for 5 years, of which I would not be able to be in prison. I mean, not be able to be on the market for 5 years. And I said, Your Honor, this isn't a corporation. This is a sole proprietorship. I mean, you're looking at the president and the janitor, you know. So nevertheless, he was going to fine me $10,000, $200 a month for 5 years. Okay. The first month in September, they send a bill, they mean the Department of Justice, to the office here, and Bob, the vice president, he pays a $200 check to the Department of Justice. Well, Marie is the one, my Medellin drug cartel. She calls Bob, and he finds out, and he tells her, and she tells me, and I have an absolute fit. Now, in October, I have my stroke, and I tell you about that later, but anyway, I survive. You know, when you think you're going to die, you get tough. So I had Maria call Bob and tell him not to pay the fine because there wasn't any corporation. You can't
right.
find something that doesn't exist. Okay. So he doesn't pay it. So anyway, I have a stroke, and I go to the prison hospital. I think I'm going to die. The blood pressure is over 200. They send me to Valley View Hospital in San Diego, and they think I'm going to die. So they send me to Scripps, which is the big hospital. If you've ever seen the intensive care unit, there's seven people on the floor. They blew these little curtains in between, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I'm laying there with the guard there. Now, all the guards in the prison are 6 feet, 6 feet four, and they're black. I mean, really black, and they are tough. So the guard next to me, and I had two guards on eight-hour shifts. That really must have cost the people something.
I bet.
But the guard is only about 5 feet eight. He's black, and he's about 5 feet wide. And I said to him, what's your name? He said, I'm Mr. Smith. I thought, I said, well, he doesn't want me to know his name, but I'll call him that. Now, I'm hooked up to all these machines, you know. So I hear the two attendants say, what are they going to do with Harrington McGill? He said, they're going to give her a lobotomy. Now, I hear this, and I said, Mr. Smith, they're going to kill me. He said, yes, I know. I said, nobody knows I'm here. He said, yes, I know, but don't worry about it. Well, at that time, the bells and whistles on my arms went ding, 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 and the nurse comes over and the doctor comes over, and they gave me a shot, and I'm out of it. Now, even to go to the bathroom, you have to wear shackles. And when you're in bed,
you are kidding.
You are shackled to the bed, even when you're in the bed. And Mr. Smith was very nice. He helped me back, and I'm back in the bed the next morning, and this doctor comes. And he's looking at my head where he's going to shave my hair, and he's telling
me... You must have been petrified.
Yeah, I was. And he's saying, getting ready to prepare me, and Mr. Smith says, you can't operate on this woman. And he says, why not? He said, she's a Christian Scientist, aren't you? Well, you talk about a convert in 2 seconds, because you're a Christian Scientist. They don't have any invasive surgery. And I'm a Christian Scientist.
Oh,
I thought that was so smart of him. Did he know your whole story? I don't know. It's the first time I talked to him. So, and I don't know why he's still there the next morning from the night before, and I don't know where the other guard is. So anyway, he says, well, there's nothing I can do for her. He gives me a shot, and I'm out again. I'm kind of in and out all day long. So the next day, Mr. Smith is there again. And I said, Mr. Smith, that was really sharp of you. And he just kind of smiled at me. He said, you're going back to the prison hospital. They don't want you here. So he helps me into the wheelchair because I couldn't stand up, where I'm now chained to the wheelchair. And my hands are chained, my wrists are chained. And he puts a blanket over my wrist, and he says, I don't want you to be embarrassed going through the halls chained that way. He puts me into the ambulance. They chain me to the gurney, and I go back to the hospital.
Amazing.
The hospital. So,
talk about a guardian angel.
You don't know the half of it. I'm coming up to that. So then I'm there a couple of days, and I survived. And I said to one of the guards, can you tell me a little bit about Mr. Smith? He saved my life. He said, Sissy, there is no Mr. Smith. I said, yes, he was. He's about 5'8" and he's wide. He says, Sissy, you know all the guards. There's no Mr. Smith. I said, well, I saw him. The doctor saw him. He signed my release papers, and I want to thank him. Well, they didn't want to be bothered, you know, with a nutty lady like me. So anyway, now keep that in mind, because 2 years later, I'm reading Guideposts by Norman Vincent Peale.
Yes.
And this lady in Louisiana lends the car to her 16-year-old son who doesn't come back that night. Of course, she's in panic. The next day, she and her daughter are driving up the roads where he might be, and there's nothing. So they're in the house, and the front door bell rings, and they answer the door, and there's a man, a black man, about 5'8", about 5 feet wide, and he said, I'm Mr. Smith. And he said, your son is in this area, in a gully. You can't see him from the road. He's unconscious. He's okay, but you better get there in a hurry. So she runs to the kitchen to get the daughter to come back. There's nobody there.
Wow.
You don't think I have a guardian angel? Okay, get back to the story. So I have to wait for the 60 days after they didn't pass the law. Now, I got 22 letters from senators and congressmen that I never broke a law, including Ted Kennedy, Strom Thurmond, the guy from...
Even Strom Thurmond.
The guy from Delaware, Chris Dodd. I have all these letters from these senators and congressmen. I didn't break a law because there wasn't any law.
That is incredible.
So finally, I'm close to Christmas, the 19th of December, and they're going to let me out early because the judge said he can't stand all this pressure from Washington, D.C. Now, what had happened, now, I have a master's degree from Columbia University. I started my doctorate at University of California at Berkeley, and I finished up my course at USC, University of Southern California. So they put down I had an eighth grade education, because this way they get money from the federal government to rehabilitate me.
Oh, my God.
So
who signed you up for the lobotomy?
Nobody. There never was any. I don't know.
No, but I mean, he said that someone was going to give you one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was in and out.
Wow.
So anyway, they put me in this room with these other inmates. Now, I'm not a felony. Felonist. Felony? I'm a
felon.
No, thank you. I'm a miss. But they put me in this room, and the woman assigns... this is those days at typewriters. The typewriter, so I would learn how to type. Great. So anyway,
this is a hilarious story.
I'm finished in about 5 minutes of the thing that's supposed to last for 2 hours. So I thought, now what am I going to do? Well, right next to the typing room is the prison library, and I can read. So I go in there, and I start looking things up, and I find out, on fraud, and this is fraud, and false imprisonment, I'm entitled to $10,000 a day. And I total was there 144 days.
Oh, my God.
So I'm looking up all these laws, and they found out that I was going to the prison library. They locked the door, so I couldn't go in. I thought, like, you're not going to shoot me down. It's just a matter of time. So anyway, what happens to, it comes time to go and let me out early because the judge couldn't stand the pressure. I said, okay. So my friend Bob is going to pick me up at 6 o'clock on Monday night, and I go downstairs, and you have no, you can't be embarrassed. They look up your rear end. They look in your ears. They go through your hair. They look down your throat as though I'm going to take something out of that to prison.
I
looked at my
right.
rear end. I don't know. So anyway, I go downstairs. Now, they pay you $5 a month for working in the prison, and I was there 4 months, so I was entitled to $20.
Oh,
so all of a sudden I hear, whoo, 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 there's a prison break. Now, when there's a prison break, there's something called lockdown.
Oh, my God.
And I'm downstairs waiting for this woman to give me a check for $20. And I still have my summer clothes on, even though it's December, because I was sentenced there in August. So anyway, I said to her, hurry up. She said, I have to do this properly. I said, keep the money. Oh, I learned a new word. F-U-C-K. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on.
No, I don't think so.
Well, that was the new word I learned. Everybody in the prison was saying it. I never said it in my life, but I learned a new word. So anyway, I said to the girl, keep the money. She says, no, I have to write it out. Now, what happens when there's a lockdown? All the doors in the prison close.
Sure.
And I am about 25 feet from the gate that where Bob is sitting in the car, and I can see him, and the gates are closing. So she gives me things. I take it out, and I'm jumping over chairs, fence, benches, and everything else, and I just zoom out, and I get in. And he said, what's going on? I said, it's a prison break. He said, for you? I said, no, it's not for me. Somebody else. Anyway, I get out, and I said to him, you didn't pay that $200 a month. He said, no, just for September. And I said, good. He said, you know, when Maria talks, I listen to her. I'm scared to death of her. So anyway, what happens? I lost 30 pounds. I look like a wreck. Anyway, so what happens? I call up.
This is the most hilarious
I call
up
the Department of Justice. Make a good movie. In fact, I've had two
offers. Oh, it would make an incredible movie. I was sitting here thinking that.
I had two offers from to make a movie, and I said to them, I want Jacqueline Smith to play me. Anyway. So anyway, I say to him now, I wrote to the Department of Justice, and I say, I want my $200 back. You know, you think you're going to die, you're fearless.
Right.
So they wrote back that I am now in arrears by 4 months, and I owe them $800. No, I don't owe you $800 because you're finding the corporation. There's no such thing as a corporation, which means I can go back into business, you see.
Right.
So anyway, I wrote them another letter. I want my $200 back. And they say, we're going to send the marshals out to arrest the offices of the corporation. Yeah, who are you going to arrest? It doesn't exist. There aren't any. So I thought to myself, the heck with you people. I go down to small claims court, plunk my $8 down, solid gold health products for pets, Sissy Harrington McGill, sues the Department of Justice of the United States of America for $200. Well, they get that. I get a phone call from the Department of Justice down here in San Diego. Would you mind telling us what this is about? So I said, okay. So they said, well, you can't sue the United States of America. You have to sue a person. I said, like whom? You know, if I said whom, because I'm a well-educated lady. And they said, like the Attorney General of the United States. I said, and who would that be? He said, Edmund Meese. You're not going to sue him, aren't you? I said, it's my $200. So I go back to small claims court, plunk my $8 down, sue the United States of America, Department of Justice, Attorney General Edmund Meese for $200. I get a phone call from the Washington, D.C. You mind tell us a little more about this? And I told them, and they said, okay. So I get a check for $200.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
You see, their letter said that they were reimbursing my personal account because I had paid the corporation fine out of my personal account, and they were reimbursing my personal account. Okay, so now I'm ready to sue the FDA for $125,000 for fraud.
Fantastic.
And I'm going to pursue it, but I found I can't pursue it.
Why?
Cannot sue the government unless they give you permission to sue them.
What?
Yep. You know that, honey. Well, I'll tell you, it's true. So I go, I said, how do I get permission? You have to go into court to get permission. So I file in court, and they bring Gordon Thompson, the same judge, in to go for it.
Oh,
no, you
God.
Cannot sue the FDA for 5 years until your 5 years probation is up. I said, what are you talking about? I'm not on probation. There is no corporation. You can't do it. He wouldn't let me do it. I said, I will see you in 5 years. I came back 5 years, 9 days later. I'm in court again. And they bring Gordon Thompson in again.
Oh, you're kidding.
And this time they bring two women from the FDA, Rockville, Maryland, to go against me, who are trying to get my corporation fine extended for another 10 years. Now, I'm 62 at that time, and I said to the lady, why are you doing this? She said, we hope you'll be dead by this time in 5 years. I said, let me tell you something. My grandmother lived to be 102. My mother lived to be 86. I'm going to live long enough to sue you people. Now, one of the people who had sent me letters was Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah.
Yeah.
So I came home and I said to Bob, I said, pack your gear. I said, we're going to Washington, D.C. We're in Senator Hatch's office in 2 days. We walk in. Now, I had sent ahead of time all the stuff, my transcripts and everything, to the secretary. He wasn't there. The secretary was. I told her briefly what it was, and I showed her the letter that I had gotten from Senator Hatch that I never broke a law. And she said, our attorneys are going to love to get a hold of this.
Really?
I called the, they called me in 3 weeks. They said, it's a no-go. I said, what are you talking about? They said, you don't exist. There's nothing in the Department of Justice. There's nothing in the FDA. This never happened.
Right.
I said, I sent you a transcript of my release papers and everything else. They said, this is before computers, they said they have deliberately misfiled it.
Yeah, and they threw them away. They didn't misfile them.
So anyway, I'm not to be dismayed. So I keep going after them. My brother used to work for the CIA. He called me up. He said to me, don't pursue this. He said, you remember the Karen Silkwood case? She was a whistleblower on some company. The day before the trial, they ran her off the road and she was killed. He said, they're going to kill you.
That's right.
He said, it's very easy. He said, first of all, you live alone. And he said, I already saw a picture of your van in your file. So they've already taken pictures of your van.
Oh,
he
my
said,
God.
Don't do it. So I thought to myself, okay. So what I did, I wrote to another attorney in Washington, D.C., who specializes in suing the government. I sent him $5,000 as retainer fee. 2 weeks he sent it back to me. And I won't tell you his name. I don't think he would want that. So he said to me, don't go after this. He said, they're very serious. It's a David and Goliath. He said, and they don't want anybody to know. He said, I would recommend that you go talk before the radio, women's clubs, dog clubs, civil rights group, anything that you can to get your story out. So within a couple of weeks, I'm at the University of Phoenix, giving, there's several of them around town, giving lectures, women's club. Once people know about it, you know, it's, why kill you, you know, because people already know about it.
Right.
But they dissuaded me from ever pursuing them, and I don't think I'll make a, Jacqueline Smith will have to go someplace else. So that's the story of the solid gold dog food.
Oh, my God.
Didn't think you were going to get that, did you?
Oh, my. You know, it's so funny because I have really good instincts. And the first time I looked at your dog food in the bag, I had such a good vibe. I knew it was really special. And it's just, it, this story is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Well, the thing that fascinates me most about the dog food, aside from the fact that it's totally holistic, and that you're feeding the dogs vegetables and things that are really good for them. What I wanted to ask you was, how did you determine, like, which vegetables would be best for the dog, for the dogs, and did you just copy all the formulas from Germany? It seems like you've created some of your own by now.
Oh, some of my own. I'm a great reader. I said I live alone, and my hobby is reading. I read 17 different magazines a month, sometimes more than that. And you pick out the good things. We started out with the Hundenflocken, which means dog food flakes in German, and Hündchenflocken. Hund is dog, C-H-E-N on the end of dog is little dog. We say puppy. From there we went, that's lamb and fish. Now, let's talk holistic healing.
Yeah.
All the Oriental dogs, the Arctic dogs, the dogs from England, Scotland, Ireland, all your water dogs, poodles, lamb. What were they fed for hundreds of years? Fish and sea vegetation, like our sea meal that we get from Scotland. If you don't give these dogs a fish-based dog food and sea vegetation, you're not supporting the genome, think DNA of the body, and they'll chew at the root of the tail and lick their feet. Okay, so the second one we developed was the Millennia that you were talking about, the blue bag with a silver star. Now, that's beef and fish. The grains and the oils are the same. The next one was the holistic blend. Now, holistic blend is only 18% protein. And that's for older dogs, dogs with kidney problems. 18% is the minimum that will support dogs' life. Some of these diets that are 9%, the dog goes into eating, cannibalizing himself. And that is one of our big sellers. Now, the next thing we went into was Wolf King, Wolf Cub, and Just a Wee Bit. Now, this is bison and salmon. We get the bison from the largest bison herd in North America. They're not castrated. They're not dehorned. They're not, they don't have any shots in them. They're free-range grass.
They don't get any hormones bison. At all?
No hormones at all.
Right.
And the salmon, you got to know why we use hook and line salmon and not farm salmon. You've heard of Monsanto Chemical Company.
Oh, yes. I'm Starland very familiar.
Corn. They put a pesticide into corn. This is 7 years ago. So when the bugs ate the corn, they'd fall off dead.
Right.
When the birds ate the bugs, they fell dead.
Right.
When it got into Taco Bell corn tortillas, people got sick. Kellogg's Corn Flakes was pulled off the market. When it was fed to chickens, the chickens died. Now the FDA says this GMO corn, genetically modified organism corn, can be put only into pet food. And to livestock feed, like farm salmon. Now, I'm not going to give my Great Danes farm salmon with a pesticide in. That's why we use hook and line wild caught salmon. Now, I've got to tell you about the wee bit. My grandmother was from Scotland, and every little child was a tiny tot. So our number one treat is called tiny tots. We have many different kinds. An inch long, a quarter of an inch thick, and yeah, you can break them in pieces. My Great Danes love them. And she was only 5 feet tall, but no matter how much she ate, it was just a wee bit.
So my mother was from Scotland, so I know.
Where do you go see this pink bag? It's bright pink bag with a picture of a Westie, and that's Muffin, the Westie. Now, you give that to little dogs, adults, and puppies their whole life. It's 28% protein, bison and salmon, because little dogs have a higher metabolism. They need a higher metabolism, a higher protein to keep this metabolism up. Now, our new dog food is called Barking at the Moon, and it's gorgeous. It's a holographic silver and blue sky with a crescent moon looking down at a terrier standing on his hind legs barking at the moon. And one lady said to me, "Who does these weird bags of yours?"
Oh, I think they're beautiful.
And I said, she said, "Who's the weird person that does your bags?" I said, "I'm the weird person."
Oh, I think they're stunning. Your packaging is beautiful.
Now, we're in a lot of stores. We're in the Petco chain. And I
was, oh, you are?
Yeah, I was at, 2 years ago, I went to the Petco meeting, you know, and I gave them my beautiful, beautiful Wolf King dog food. Now, the eyes follow you. There's a big picture of a wolf's head.
Yeah, I'm looking at
them. And the eyes follow you as they go. So I submitted to Petco for the award of the best product.
Uh-huh.
It was between me and another product, and I lost. The product that won was a turtle ladder. It was 3 inches long. It had two rungs on it so the turtle could climb up the ladder and go sit on the top of his little bowl. The second year, I submitted my Just a Wee Bit to win, and I was tying with this other product. We lost.
Huh.
The other product was a turtle log, so the turtle could sit on a log.
How funny.
So I talked to the Petco people. I said, "I'm submitting Barking at the Moon this year. If a turtle wins, I'm going to kill the turtle." There's nothing like this on the market.
Well, listen, I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by the fact I have a Yorkie poo who is very beautiful. She really looks more like a silky. And she's one of your little, she eats the little bit food. And she tends to eat fecal matter. And I noticed that you had a product that prevents dogs from doing that. And my question was, why do they do that?
They eat that because the food that you're eating must have a sugar in it or corn, like corn gluten.
No, they're eating, she eats your food.
No, what I'm saying, let me explain.
Oh.
Or if they had been eating any dog food with sugar beet pulp. Because sugar ties up your trace minerals. That's why they eat the poop. They're trying to recycle the trace minerals. Or they'll eat grass. Well, they do that in the spring anyway.
Yeah, she eats grass.
If you put them on the sea meal,
okay,
which is 19 types of
sea vegetation, 60 trace minerals. Dogs are 11% trace minerals, 4% vitamins. If you don't give them the trace minerals, the vitamins don't work. It boosts up the thymus and thyroid glands, which controls the immune system, the hormone system, the enzyme system of the body, but it takes 22 days to get in the system. She's eating the poop to recycle it. Now, the SEP will help, but you have to use the sea meal at the same time. Are you using the sea meal? Pardon? Are you using the sea meal?
No, I haven't started.
You've got to use that. Now, I tell people, I was at Tennessee and I gave a lecture not too long ago. I said, the second month on our dog food, you're going to get larger stools, more frequent stools, they're going to smell awful. The body's detoxifying, particularly if you're using anything with animal fat or poultry fat.
Uh-huh.
Or digestive chicken. That's the manure inside the chicken when they kill the chicken. They put the full guts, including the manure, inside the dog food.
Oh, my God.
Chicken byproducts are beak, feet, and sometimes feathers. Anyway, I said the second month you're going to get larger stools, more frequent stools, going to smell awful, body's detoxifying. Lady came up afterwards, and she said, I have a 5-year-old Springer Spaniel. I heard your lecture last year. I'm so glad you told me about the second month. The poop was magenta, green, yellow, orange, and she said, what is going on?
Food dye. Right.
No. 3 years before, the dog had eaten a box of her daughter's crayons.
Oh, my God.
They had melted inside the intestinal tract and coated the intestinal tract for 3 years, prohibiting food value from coming in.
Oh,
at
my
one time,
goodness.
They had been feeding a dog food poultry byproducts, and the feathers were still stuck inside the intestinal tract. Now, all that crappy stuff had to come out before the body could start to heal. So that's what happens when you feed our food, when you mix it with other food. And you have to do it gradually over a 3-week period because you're changing all the bacteria in the intestinal tract. Okay, about the SEP, it's glycemic acid, or is it glutamic acid? Glutamic acid, wrong one. Glutamic acid. Now, the body produces glutamic acid, but this is a concentrate of it. So when the dog eats it, the poop tastes terrible, and this should stop him from eating it. But it takes about a month. Between the sea meal and the SEP, using together, that will stop it.
Well, no, she's not eating her own poop. She just eats, like, duck poop, and she particularly likes duck poop.
Okay.
But that'll stop her from eating it.
This is very dangerous because of the bird flu.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
We don't use duck, and we don't use chicken.
Wow.
You know,
well, let me ask you this. Where? Why use? What is the purpose of the raspberry leaves?
Raspberry. Okay. If you're going to breed your bitch, and that is a nice word, it's not a dirty word, even though my mother thought I should wipe my mouth out with soap when she heard me say that.
You there?
My mother's getting after me for using that dirty word. Give it to the bitch 2 to 3 weeks before she's due to come in season.
Oh.
You have to guess. Let me get a drink of water. Hold on.
Okay.
If she has a vaginal or uterine infection, it's going to neutralize the sperm. For green, it's in the red raspberry leaves.
Why would you want to neutralize
this? This is not the English red raspberry tea leaves.
Okay.
Which you get in the health food store. We get these, we import them from Germany. They're made for pregnant women. The for green is 80%. The English red raspberry tea leaves are only 2%. And you keep her on them all through the pregnancy until the puppies are 6 weeks of age, it tightens up the uterus. Now, if she has a severe problem, like older bitches, a puppy, no conception, dead puppies, then you use the Concept-A-Bitch. It has fennel and lysine in it, which bring on milk. It has red raspberry leaves, sea meal, but the main ingredient is wild yam, which is progesterone. Progesterone maintains pregnancy in mammals, bitches, women. Now, after an egg is fertilized, it has to attach itself to the wall of the uterus before the 17th day. If it doesn't, it floats out. The wild yam is the progesterone that keeps it in there Now, this is very important that you don't feed a lot of chicken. First of all, they put arsenic in chicken's drinking water because they're so loaded with parasites.
Oh, I know it.
What they don't tell you is arsenic causes blindness in dogs.
Blindness?
Yep. Now, another thing, they're putting estrogen, the female hormone, into chickens' drinking water to get big-breasted chickens for the fast food industry.
Yes, I know that.
So if a girl goes to a fast food place, oh, no, I don't want a hamburger. I want a chicken breast sandwiches because it's healthy for me. Have you seen the boobs in some of these 15-year-old girls?
Yep, I sure have.
Well, I didn't
And boys
like that.
Are getting them now, too.
Yep. What happens, they get estrogen dominance. When you get estrogen dominance, progesterone falls. If a young man does that, he gets estrogen dominance. If that happens, testosterone falls. When testosterone falls, the tail falls off the sperm, and you got no motility. That's why when a man goes to a fertility clinic, the first thing the doctor says is, stop eating chicken. And yet all these dog food companies use a lot of chicken. We don't because we know better.
Good heavens.
In 1990,
you're basically, you know what, we are running out of time, Sissy. We've got about 3 or 4 more minutes, and we... Your story was so interesting about how your company evolved, and we haven't really been able to take time to get into
talk
science.
Talk louder. You're fading on me.
I said we haven't been able to take time
to
get into the science of the different products, and I feel like we need to talk some more.
Okay. Well, call me again sometime when you have time.
Well, no, I want to have you back on the show so you can talk about your products again.
Okay. When?
What's next Wednesday like?
Yeah,
maybe we could do a continuation.
Yeah, I'll be in town 4 to 5 next Wednesday.
Yeah, at California time.
California.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think we're probably going to have to say goodnight because I really enjoyed hearing your story, and I do think you should. I do think you should let someone make a movie.
Oh,
who? Because it's so funny. It's hilarious.
Well, it is from your point of view, but not when you're living through it.
I was going to say, going through it, I'm sure it wasn't very pleasant, but you have such an amazing attitude, and, just the way, if they could tell the movie the way you tell the story, it would be hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty sad comment on our government.
Well, I'll be ready for you next Wednesday between 4 and 5, June the 7th.
Okay, well, I just want to say good night, and it was a pleasure to have you on the phone, and tune in next week when we hear Sissy talk about the holistic science of dog food and the product that she created to save dogs' lives.
Okay, thanks so much, dear.
Good night.
Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program. And we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.